answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Here we have Israel fighting terrorists and an existential threat, and I took it as the Biden administration shooting Israel in the back. Israel needs more time to deal with this terrorist force. I understand we have grave concerns about the humanitarian situation, so let's continue to press for assistance and aid to get through, but we wouldn't have been dictated to after 9/11 in Afghanistan if the world community was standing up and saying, hey, you know what, America, back down against Al-Qaeda. By the same token, Israel ought to be given more time and space to finish the job in Gaza, and then we can help them pull back.
That makes perfect sense. But of course, to those who are all about from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, death to America, death to Jews, wipe out Israel. None of that made any sense. And it was very evident today at the UN when they presented a resolution basically to get Israel to cease fire. To cease fire. I was a little worried about this being presented because I was not sure what the direction was going to be from the White House for our ambassador. Thank God they said we will veto that resolution. But still, as I mentioned on day two after the October 7 attack, that was October 7. On October 8, Biden issued a proclamation. Actually, he made a statement, I think, maybe on late October 7. Let's give him credit for that, saying we stand with Israel and are against this atrocious attack, slaughtering, kidnapping, torturing, raping civilians in Israel, and carding a bunch of them, including Americans who have dual passports, back into Gaza and hiding them in the tunnels, knowing that the Israelis were going to come after them, but we're hiding in the tunnels, we're under the hospitals, we're under the baby beds. They don't dare try to attack, knowing that they will be killing innocent civilians. There was peace before October 7. As of October 7, that was Israel's Pearl Harbor, December 7. There was war, and there will be collateral damage. It's a terrible term to use in reference to human life, but that's what it amounted to. And Israel gave time for Palestinians to get out of the southern part of Gaza, go to the north. And some wanted to, tried to, and were shot in the back by their own Palestinians, Hamas members. So the vote comes up at the UN today, and again, the U.S. vetoes it. Now, the part of this veto you have to keep in mind when it comes to the U.N. Security Council. Let me give you a quick primer on that before we set the stage, because this is something that it bears repeating. I could cite it, but I'd rather use sources directly for it so I don't make a mistake with it. The UN Security Council, which serves inside, of course, as a part of the UN, obviously, is one of the six principal organs of the UN. The Security Council created after World War II to address the failings of what was then called the League of the Nations. It consists of 15 members, five of which are permanent. That would be the U.S., the United Kingdom, China, France, and now Russia, where it was the Soviet Union. Those are the five of the 15 that are permanent. Any permanent member can block any major resolution by their only vote. Only one veto is needed. And the resolution today was that the UN tell Israel, stop fighting, cease fire. The U.S. vetoed it. Good. But that's a long ways from where we need to be. Thank you for joining us. Here we are. Can you look at the calendar? How fast that's going by, and I'll remind you, as if you really want to be reminded, April 15th is drawing closer. But here we are on Feb 2024. This is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA back-to-back for you. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. You go to Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Twitter, Rumble. News Talk STL, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter. And if you miss anything, you can pull it up later at Larry Connors USA Facebook or Larry Connors USA Twitter. All right, back to the issue today, and that is you were listening in response to this vote coming up and us trying to convince, and let me correct that, those who were trying to convince Israel, cease fire, and you were hearing the response from Michael Allen, former National Security Council. He said, no one was going to tell us what to do or not do after 9/11. And there is no way we should be telling Israel. But as I was saying earlier, after Biden made his first statement, I said, you watch as he's standing shoulder to shoulder and hugging Menachem Begin. Netanyahu. I flash back in time. I know, just like Biden has done. Blame me. That's good. Bottom line is, I told you, as he was shaking hands and holding close and hugging, although I think the hug might have been initiated by Netanyahu when Biden arrived, watch for the daylight between them to get wider and wider and wider. And that's where we are now. And Michael Allen, former National Security Advisor, said it very clearly. I said, what we're doing is basically shooting them, the Israelis, in the back.
There's also a report, Michael, that the U.S. is working on a peace deal that includes a firm timeline for a Palestinian state. This would be perceived as being a reward for killing 1,200 Israelis. And there's no way a Republican administration would ever entertain an idea like this. But also practically, what would a firm timeline for a Palestinian state look like?
It would cause a headlong rush to try and make this work when the conditions are not set for that on the ground. First of all, it's premature because it would seemingly reward the Palestinians for Hamas's dastardly actions. But second, I don't think we've done any of the hard work. Who is going to rule a Palestinian state? Just which territory is going to be at play? And will they control their own borders and national security, so to speak, or will they let more terrorists and Iranian proxies into a new Palestinian area? So I'm worried about it. I don't think it makes sense. I think we have a long way to go before we get there. We need to let Israel finish the job first and talk about these other issues later.
That's right. Do it later. And Israel's indicating we're going to go into Rafah and we're going to clear it out before Ramadan, which is the 25th of March. Terrorists who want to destroy Israel also want to destroy Jews everywhere and Americans. And Americans know that we continue to have those same terrorists coming across our border. And it's pretty clear when you listen to a man who's been in charge of terrorist activity. Tim Healy.
The demographics of this group has changed. It used to be kids and family members. Now it's adult males. And so 65% of it's adult males. Mm-hmm. And so we looked at this and were extremely concerned about, does anybody get this? And then from my perspective at the Terror Screening Center, the last 3 years, you had 336, you know, known or suspected terrorists arrested between entry points and the southern border. If you take, you know, the past 4 years, you know, fiscal year 17, 18, 19, and 20, you had 14. So that caused us, you know, from my perspective, you know, sleepless nights.
What about the ones who are getting through the gotaways who we have no idea where they are?
Well, the 1.8 million gotaways. So one of the individual that we have that you know, that used to be, you know, with Border Protection, he's concerned about the gotaways, but he's also concerned with the numbers, the volumes. So when you take a look at all of the people that we've got that we know about, then you've got 1.8 million of people that we don't know about. So my question is how many of those gotaways, you know, were part of the terror screening center? It's part of the watch list.
And another reason to have more sleepless nights. Now, again, that's Tim Healy. He is the previous director of the FBI Terrorist Screening Squad. Here's the standard he had in place.
When I was the director of the Terror Screening Center, I had a program. I called it the Gold Program. And every day I was briefed on the encounters. We averaged 100 encounters a day. And I'd have them highlight in gold the ones that weren't, you know, that weren't pending FBI cases. We'd average one or two a month, so maximum 12 to 24. And I was concerned about those 24 because those were encountered in the U.S. typically by law enforcement officers unknown to the FBI. That's somebody that's on the watch list unknown to us. Mm-hmm. So I was concerned about those 24 and made sure the FBI was working those cases. Now there's 336. So, and then plus the gotaways.
Plus, yeah, that
so
we know of.
It's a significant problem.
It's a big problem. And we have no idea how big it is. But we may find out in a terrorist action. All right, turning my attention to that New York judge ruling against Donald Trump. Spent a lot of time on that yesterday with my guest John Labutier. He and I were almost coming to odds directly. But it made for good, engaging radio. If you missed it, go back and pull that newscast up. And the fine, the $400 million it's going to amount to with all the interest, will drive businesses out of New York. That's already been stated by many. And one of them being Kevin O'Leary, the founder of O'Leary Investments. And he's frequently, as you may well know, a guest on the Shark Tank show.
Just leaving the whole Trump thing out of it and seeing what occurred here, and I'm no different than any other investor. I'm shocked at this. I can't even understand or fathom the decision at all. There's no rationale for it. And so let me give you a real-time experience I'm having regarding this, and I'm not the only one. It doesn't matter what the governor says. New York was already a loser state. Like California is a loser state. There are many loser states because of policy, high taxes, uncompetitive regulation. It was already on the top of the list of being a loser state. I would never invest in New York now. And I'm not the only person saying that.
Not the only person saying it. Well, CNN and NN wanted to have him on board and had one of their legal analysts trying to challenge O'Leary. Bad idea.
Wouldn't there be many companies who would not want to do business or loan money to people like yourself or investors if they know that they can get away with fraud and there's no recourse to protect them?
Excuse me, what fraud? This is not about Trump anymore. When you get a developer that builds a building and he says it's worth $400 million and he wants to borrow $200 million from a bank, which happens every day, everywhere on earth, including every American city, every developer is an entrepreneur. They shine the light on their building and they say it's worth $400. The bank does its own due diligence, as was done in this case, because they're very good at it. The banks are very good. And they say, no, it's worth $300. We're only going to loan you $150 million. That haggling has gone on for decades. That's how it works. And then in this case, even the bank that was supposedly defrauded testified and said, we didn't lose anything. We want to do business with this guy again.
Oh, that's an entirely different turn, isn't it? Didn't you love it when he said, excuse me, what fraud? What's the fraud Letitia James creates so she can go after Donald Trump? But then O'Leary and the CNN, quote, miscited debate, continue.
The bank that was supposedly defrauded testified and said, we didn't lose anything. We want to do business with this guy again. We'd like to. But the judge said, no, 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 no. Let's penalize this developer for $355 million. And if we're going to do that, let's penalize all the developers all across America. They've all done the same thing. All of them should go to jail, and we should stop building buildings. That's what the message is from New York. Even the governor herself is concerned about what this looks like to investors all around the world. It's not just U.S. domestic. Around the world, people are talking about what happened here. You really think people want to invest money in New York after this?
No, I would not think so. Would you? Of course not. I mean, when you have a case that can be presented without a victim, of course, the state of New York, and my guest yesterday, John LeBoutier, insists, well, the taxpayers didn't get their money. Do they ever get their money in New York? Seriously? Even when they pay their taxes, do they really get their money? Right now, they're busy handing out money left and right to illegals. Certainly, we don't want them to come here and starve to death or freeze in the cold, but a lot of the benefits and abilities and resources intended for American taxpayers, not only in New York, but blue cities and states elsewhere, are being funneled into paying for illegals, the very ones we began this program with. And O'Leary, he has some projects underway right now that he's pushing to do in Nebraska. He said Nebraska is a much more favorable atmosphere for us than trying to deal with New York. And then O'Leary turns around and lectures, and I love this, lectures this CNN legal analysis.
Why would we go to New York? Why take the risk? My only point is, did we just diminish the great state of New York and the great people of New York? And shouldn't they ask for better management so they don't become a flyover state? Remember, New York has the highest taxes in the country, the worst regulatory environment, and it's incredibly mismanaged. And I'm pointing out now, on top of that, you get this insanity, a victimless crime. And forget about Trump. It's not about Trump. I don't care about Trump in this. I care about America, and I care about entrepreneurship, and I care about democracy and the fairness. The judicial system is now being criticized. People are asking themselves, the Bar of New York, is this judge rational to charge $355 million in a case where no one lost any money? Is that good for the people of New York? Should the people of New York wake up to this and say, what's happening to us? Why is this becoming so perverse? Why are we the focus of this injustice? And I have nothing to do with Trump. I'm not supporting Trump. I'm supporting American entrepreneurship. And New York is slowly becoming the number one loser state in America.
Wow.
I'm sorry. That's what's happening.
How would you like that title? We've got more on this O'Leary discussion coming up in the next hour, hour number two. But before this hour is out, Jon Stewart, TV comedian, as he thinks he is, mocking Tucker Carlson. And the way he does it, well, I can say it's kind of funny, but it also shows how low some of the leftists will go, as if you had any doubt. Up next, the former director of the VA, now a reservist with Naval Intel. Is Ukraine becoming another Vietnam, but with the possibility of nukes? Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
Oh, smokes that lightning, shining just like gold. Why don't you hear me cry? Ooh, ooh, ooh.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry USA.
Welcome back. My guest, we're glad to have on board. Have not had him on before and glad to have him. Fred Flights referred us to him. And Fred and he are good friends. And Fred obviously knows what he speaks with all of his past history, 25 plus years in Intel. Robert Leon Wilkie Jr., I know you've heard the name before. He was serving as U.S. Secretary of Veterans Affairs from 2018 to 21 during the Trump administration. Previously Undersecretary of Defense for Personnel and Readiness during the Trump administration from November 2017 to 18, and also currently a reservist naval intel officer. Glad to have you on board, Robert.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Well, let's go through several things. First of all, your thoughts about the UN vote today, which thank God the U.S. used its cancel veto vote to say we're not going to tell Israel to stop shooting.
Right. Well, I'm actually surprised that this administration did that.
I am too.
Because if you remember the last 2 weeks of Obama-Biden administration, they supported a UN resolution claiming that Israel was engaged in apartheid. And that's the gift that Obama left the people of Israel, and I expected Biden to follow those lines. But that points to the schizophrenic nature of this this administration. It really is an amateur hour when it comes to national security. I mean, Larry, we had a defense secretary who disappeared for 10 days and nobody noticed.
Yeah.
Nobody noticed. We've got a national security advisor whose only expertise is concocting fantasies for Democratic presidential campaigns. Has no military background. He's just a campaign hack.
Now that has to, let me interrupt. That has to bother you with all your years in service to our country to see various organizations that we took to be of such high integrity be weaponized against the American people. Yeah.
Well, absolutely. And I'm seeing that on a daily basis in the Department of Defense. We now have, as you know, the lowest recruiting numbers since Creighton Abrams and Richard Nixon gave us the all-volunteer force in 1973. And I think part of that is because this administration and Obama before it have really turned the military into a social justice petri dish.
Yeah.
Dividing the services amongst racial, ethnic, and sexual categories. You can now get minor at the military academy in diversity, equity, and inclusion studies. And the sad thing is that the military is the only organization other than professional sports where if you perform, you're accepted.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what you look like. And the story I tell from my youth, my father was an artillery commander in the 82nd Airborne when I was in junior high school and high school. And the only time he didn't leave for his headquarters at 2 o'clock in the morning was on Thursdays when a driver would come and pick him up and take him to a commander's conference with the commanding general of the 82nd Airborne. Now, my father's driver happened to be black, but so was the commanding general of America's most honored combat unit, the 82nd Airborne. My point in that is this administration has a view of the armed services that went out the window back in the 1940s. But it's all part and parcel of a plan that presents America as an irredeemably racist country with a repugnant legacy on the world stage. And we see that with the tepid response to attacks on our people in the Middle East.
Well, you know, before we get deeper into that, there is history that we're not proud of inside the military, but we made strides in a lot of changes. But now to force this DEI in, as they have, riddle me this, how many DEI instructors do you think are inside the Russian military, the Chinese military, or even for that matter, the Ukraine military?
Right. There's absolutely none. And, you know, it goes deeper than just DEI. I'll give you an example. We have a Secretary of the Army who says that she doesn't want second and third generation recruits. because that's at war with diversity. Now, she has no military experience. She was a Clinton intern in the Clinton White House. 79% of the soldiers in the United States Army come from Army families.
Right.
So
right.
Good luck defending the country without that cohort of America.
Well, Dakota Wood from the Heritage Foundation, who monitors a lot of this closely in stats, says, you know, right now, if we actually had to draft Americans, those between the 18 and 24, I think, maybe 30% would be considered qualified, eligible. The rest sure. will be over-drugged or overweight, whatever. Now, I'm looking at, and of course, folks are entitled to make a contribution to any political candidate they want, but I noticed that it just crossed Michael Morrell. You probably have had contact with him.
Yes.
Former CIA director under Obama just donated $1,000 to former Nikki Haley's campaign, which, of course, he's entitled to do as an individual.
Right.
Now, let me turn attention back to Ukraine very quickly.
Yeah.
One of the top Putin allies is warning us that if we continue to push for a Ukraine victory, it could lead to nuclear strikes on Kyiv, Berlin, London, Washington, an apocalyptic war, tens of millions dead. This is a former prime minister, President Vladimir Putin, I'm sorry, to Putin, we're talking about former council deputy Medvedev making that statement. Your thoughts?
Right. Well, I think that's more Russian bluster. Whenever Putin feels antsy, he trots Medvedev out and allows him to spew nonsense like that. I mean, the one thing Putin knows is that a confrontation with the West on that scale would mean the end of Russia. But this also goes back to the way Obama, Biden, and I say that because we're really in the third Obama term here. If you remember, Obama was caught on a hot mic with Medvedev saying, you know, wait till the next election. I'm going to go really easy on you.
I could do more. And, that's right.
Yeah. And you contrast that with what President Trump did. You know, the one time Putin got out of his box with Donald Trump 300 of his little green men disappeared in a red mist in the Syrian desert. And Putin didn't raise his hand for the rest of the administration. And the other thing I would say, where Biden is bloviating about Trump and NATO, that there are two things. One, Trump actually bolstered the military commitment to NATO. We put troops in Poland, Latvia, Estonia, and Lithuania, troops that Joe Biden has pulled out. Because when Trump was killing Russians, he was also sending them a message by deploying elements of the 101st and 82nd Airborne Divisions to Eastern Europe that here's the line, you better stay behind your borders. And that was a message that was loud and clear. And I just want to read a headline I've got in front of me. It's from the Daily Telegraph in London, which I think is the second largest in terms of circulation in the UK. The editorial today is, Trump is right. Defenseless Europe can no longer freeload off America.
Well, and when he went in as president and told the NATO nations, you either pony up what you're supposed to be ponying up or we're pulling out, we're not going to support you. Actually, the NATO leaders loved it because more money started coming in. I mean, that was the point. Now, one other thing that's just, I want to tell you before we lose all time here in the last 2 minutes.
Sure.
The Biden administration today unveiled, quote, and there's a quote, major sanctions package targeted at Moscow, due to be released by Friday because of the death of the Russian opposition leader, Navalny. I'm sorry. So what kind of sanctions do you think would put in place against Russia for this, when we're letting Iran ship oil constantly to China?
Well, that's exactly, all he's doing is putting the sanctions back on Russia that Trump put on them when he came into office. See, that's the lunacy of the, well, I call it faculty lounge lunacy of this administration. President Trump sanctioned the devil out of Putin. He not only killed his troops, but he removed Putin's access to Western banks. He removed Putin's access to American currency, and he bottled up most of his oil production other than the oil production that traveled overseas, along land routes into China. And remember, he told the Germans, you had better shut down that Nord Stream pipeline.
Right.
Or we're not going to give you anything.
And so, he made all of Europe clear, even back to days of Reagan, do not rely on Russia to supply you.
That's exactly right. So, again, it's going to be toothless. I mean, this is the administration going back again to Obama that has all these red lines that people crossed, and they establish another red line. And it does nothing but humiliate us. And I'll say this one last thing as someone who comes from a family of generations of service. The sustained air campaign that our Secretary of State said we would engage in after the Americans were killed, I don't think anybody else has heard about it because it hasn't happened. They did a couple of pinprick responses several weeks after the event, after they told the Houthis where we were going to strike.
Right.
And then they've stopped.
There's a pressure to make sure they keep contained now so it doesn't widen. So, again, Iran feels we can get away with anything. Robert Wilkie Jr., thank you for your time. We would like to book you again in the future.
Well, I'd love to do it again. Thank you for what you do, too.
Thank you, sir. Thank you and your family for your service. Coming up, our leftist talk show host, Mox Tucker Carlson, in his interview with the Russian president. And I mean, he mocks him. He thinks he's really, really funny. Will you agree? Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale, based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I like supporting local companies that give back to the community. For more than 40 years, Vincent's Jewelers has helped raise more than $1.5 million for local charities. So I'm personally asking that when you're shopping for jewelry, give Vincent's a chance. And in turn, Vincent's will give even more to our community. On Olive, just east of 270. New specials every day on vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
Then China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
McGuire Moving will come to your home or office and give you a free, honest appraisal. Not over the phone. That way you won't be shocked come moving day. Really tight budget? McGuire will offer advice that could save you even more money. McGuire, fully licensed and insured, also has climate-controlled storage for you. McGuireMoving.com. It's that simple. Just remember, you're moving anything, anytime, McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Where do I go to study the particulars of unquestioning propaganda? I would need mentorship.
We're in Moscow tonight. We're here to interview the president of Russia, Vladimir Putin.
Saints be praised. For Professor Tucker, Aloysius Mayflower, Kenny Bumptport, Backgammon Carlson III. Has arrived. Professor, tell me, what is step one in delivering world-class fealty to power?
Here's why we're doing it. First, because it's our job. We're in journalism.
Lie about what your job is.
We're in journalism. Our duty is to inform people.
Lie about what your duty is.
Now, you know what? On one hand, I can take all of that nonsense with a laugh. I appreciate satire and comedy and even stupid comedy sometimes. I mean, my God, I grew up, many of you did too, with the Three Stooges. I mean, you did not get more absurd than the Three Stooges. You know, poke me in the eye, try that. Yeah, well, no, kids, don't do that. And if you're not sure what that was, talk to someone who might be a little more experienced, not older, more experienced. That was John Stewart mocking Tucker's interview with Russian President Putin. And the lap break that happened in there when he said, oh, my God, Tucker is arrived. Praise be the gods. We have somebody to instruct us on how to deal with propaganda. Now, that is a burr in the, under the saddle as far as I'm concerned, because you are propaganda, and everything you and the leftists are doing is propaganda. I never see you put a balance in there. If you ever did balance, then I'd accept that it's not all propaganda. An example would be Bill Maher. Bill Maher is still probably more left than right, but he's also more center than left, and he's called the left out on numerous things, saying it's stupid what you're doing. Joe Rogan's another example. Larry Connors, I like to think I'm maybe not that highly recognized, but I appreciate your support anyway. But I do the same thing. I'm going to give you both sides. I'll give you my opinion. Doesn't mean you have to follow it or should follow it. You make the decision. That's up to you. But John Stewart, what he was doing, said, well, where could we go and get somebody to lecture us and teach us? And then they cut to Tucker Carlson saying, we're here in Moscow. And he said, oh, saints be praised. And he takes a pad and pen and licks the pencil and prepares to take notes from Tucker Carlson. And when he says, we're here to do journalism, oh, lie about your job. And everybody loved it. And we're here to find the truth. Oh, it's our duty to find the truth. Oh, lie about your duty. I mean, see, it's funny to an extent. But what they're trying to do goes deeper than that. And you know it, and I know it. Tucker Carlson is closely aligned with Trump. Not necessarily saying he's going to vote for him or stand with him. Probably will. But here's another guy that's in the scope. And once they get you somewhere in there, they're going to make sure they target you as well. So back to John Stewart and his little fun. Let's begin by Tucker adding a remark and then again some response from Stewart.
Americans have a right to know all they can about a war they're implicated in. Freedom of speech is our birthright. We were born with the right to say what we believe.
Oh. Kudos, Sensei. That was deep. I have much to learn. Disguise your deception and capitulation to power as noble and moral. And based in freedom. Yes, master. Just out of curiosity, as a student, when you're sitting there interviewing Putin and you don't plan to challenge his utter bullshit, but you don't want to really be that obvious, what do you do with your face? Oh, I see. Okay, so it's not really a straight face as much as you try to convey a mixture of what appears to be shame, arousal, and I'm going to say irregularity.
And it went deeper than that and nastier than that. What would have happened, riddle me this, what would have happened if someone on the right had done such a skit regarding credibility and propaganda regarding the left? Well, you know what would have happened. All hell would have broken loose. See, again, if you're going to do satire and do it right, you must also be willing to accept satire. If you're going to do comedy attacking someone, then you need to allow comedy that attacks you. You can't suddenly get flustered and start crying out, foul, foul, they touched something that's a third rail for me. You don't do that. So John Stewart, again, he's got a willing audience. They're all bought into whatever the left wants to put out, so they're going to laugh like crazy anyway. And then again, I don't know that all of them really bought what he was saying, but laughing at the routine. I mean, how many clowns can come out of the car? We'll laugh until suddenly it's empty. Well, okay, guess that's the end of the left. Now let's throw the clown into the lion pit and see what happens. We may still laugh, some might. But John Stewart offered a conclusion, and again, we have to do some bleeping on it.
Now, obviously, Tucker's strategy is going to work when there's some ambiguity in what Putin says. But what if Putin starts saying, like, World War II was Poland's fault because they forced Hitler to invade them? I mean, what do you do with something like that? That's going to be hard.
After World War I, this territory was transferred to Poland, and instead of Danzig, a city of Dansk emerged. Hitler asked them to give it amicably, but they refused.
Of course.
You know, it's so hard to do when your face says, what the f***? And your mouth says, of course. It's just a... so hard to hold. How do you... All right. How do you do that? By the way, Poland started World War II. Why would a country whose navy has submarines with screen doors want to instigate a war?
I'll give him credit for that line. I know the Polish friends I have don't like it, but it's a funny line for anyone you apply. They built submarines with screen doors. Not a good idea, obviously. But the whole thing, it wasn't really satire, it wasn't comedy. It was a farce. And a bad one at that. But I wanted you to be exposed to it because I go where you do not dare go when I try to come back alive and unscathed so I can present it to you in bits and pieces. Coming up, a man on the street with a rant that this played earlier today, by the way, on the Vic Porcelli and Ken, his producer, Thundersteeler, William, sent it to me. The man is ranting, but he is making solid points.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Five things that black people can do today to affect change in our community. Number one, stop supporting rap music.
Mm-hmm.
Rap music profits from our destruction. They do nothing but promote negative stereotypes about black people. Number two, stop voting for Democrats.
My favorite.
Democrats have been using black people for the last 60 years. They do nothing but use us for our votes. Number three, if you know a man that's not taking care of his children, call him and let him know that he's a disgusting piece of trash.
Preach.
And he's the reason why, the main reason why, the black community is in the situation that it's in right now. Number four, stop supporting race hustlers like Black Lives Matter. They do nothing but profit from our division. And number five, my favorite, stop looking at white people to fix our problems.
Ooh.
Look at black folks to fix the problem because we're the ones in it.
Now, again, I don't know the source of that, and Ken Williams had sent it to me from Vic Porcelli. Wasn't too sure of the source either. But the lines were very clear and very direct. And the particular point, the third point, is not just a black thing. It's also a white, Hispanic, whatever thing. If a father is not going to be there to help raise the children and provide for them, he is a piece of more than trash. I don't care that they're going through a separation, divorce. You helped take care of the family. You took on that responsibility. I thank God every night for my parents. Dad was an oil field worker, worked long, hard hours, was not there a lot, did not get to see a lot of things I did because he was busy working. But he provided a very good life for us. I have no idea of the difficulties they might have been facing. It just dawned on me the other day that I remembered one time Mom came to me, and I was mowing grass at various neighborhoods where I could get a job, you know, just to use a lawnmower and make a little money. And she asked, do you have $10, $10 or $20, something like that, maybe $10? I said, sure. So I went and got it from my special safe. I kept all of my money in a Prince Albert can under my bed where my brother couldn't find it. And money, to me, smelled like tobacco. Every time I smelled tobacco, I thought of money. Well, so I got it to her, and I gave it to her, and without a second thought. And, of course, I don't know, maybe in a week or so, she gives it back to me. And I got to thinking, how bad must things have been that she had to ask her son, her 12, 13-year-old son, do you have any money? And there are a lot of families going through that now. It was a tragedy, by the way. I want to point out last night in Ferguson, a mother and her four kids, two of them were twins, the youngest 2.5. I think the twins were around 11. The other might have been 14. All of them died in a house fire. It's under investigation. It may end up being a criminal act of some type, but your heart just breaks for them. It breaks. It should. I hope it does. In California, there's a library that is closing its doors. Now, you know in a library, you're supposed to be, shh, no noise. Don't make any noise. No distraction, right? And another issue here. Before I get that, Joy Pullman with The Federalist wrote a piece saying, the library stopped charging late fees, so I stopped returning the books. I love it. And I probably have some books somewhere that I would probably owe millions of dollars on, but they're not in California libraries. They're Texas. They'll be arresting me any day at some point. They track me down. But this library in California had shut its doors because it wasn't just the fact that people were being noisy in there. It's what they were doing between the bookshelves. They, as a, according to the system director said, we had drug activity both inside and on our property. And of course, we had the normal talking too loud, returning, failing to return books on time, vandalism and theft. Well, of course, this library apparently does still want you to return the books on time or they'll fine you. But then the other thing that apparently this might have been the thing that was the straw that broke the camel's back. The director points out, we found bullet casings on the property. That wasn't a good idea. I hope they were dropped silently. Maybe they were using a silencer and they're firing. And then they found police people were in between the book rows were having sexual intercourse. Well, I didn't know that. Is there a law like that against the library? Is that written in your library where you go, no sexual intercourse? I think I've seen no guns allowed. I don't think I've seen no sexual intercourse allowed. I guess we're going to start doing that. And yes, you will need to return your books on time. This is a strange world in so many ways. I want to share with you an email I got early this morning from a listener, Diane. She often listens and writes, and she has a grandson, Braden, she dotes on. She is raising this young boy or helping with his parents raise him perfectly. They go out and put flags on the graves on Memorial Day for the soldiers out at the VA cemetery, and they go do other things that are wholly patriotic. She said, we were riding home from his soccer game, and a friend was with us. I had your program on. We both enjoyed your exchange with John. She's talking about the one I told you about earlier, John LeBoutier. And then she asked me more about your show. She lives in Springfield, Illinois. She asked, is your show always this good? And I told her, yes, that you had people, you hold people accountable, but you're also fair, that you take top stories of the day, look at both sides. We like the segment about the truckers in New York. You gained another listener tonight. Have a jack for me. Well, she had me at that. She put it at the beginning. I would have read the letter several times over. And she is probably responsible for, I don't know, maybe 30% of the audience I have. She has women's gatherings and said, you got to listen. You got to listen. Folks, I'm asking you to do the same. Diane, thank you again. And, of course, you can listen from the app anywhere. I mean anywhere, and we're glad to have you do so. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.